Well, this weekend's been so good, and God's done so many things, and thrilled with what God has done. Every now and then, I don't eat at buffets too much because too many kids are sneezing on it and putting food where it don't belong. But anyhow, every now and then when you get in a buffet, this meeting's kind of been like this. You start out, you're starved to death, you're hungry, and you're just ready to go eat as much as you possibly can, and then you're lingering at the end of it. You want to eat more, but you can't. I tell you, God has fed us so much this weekend. From Friday evening, God bless yesterday. And if you missed the Sunday school hour today, that's exactly what you did. You missed it. God spoke to us. And then the man of God preached just a few moments ago. And then all the singing. I love being in meetings like this and thrilled to do that. So what I want to do, I just want to share a thought with you for these few moments. And I want you to take your Bible, turn to Titus chapter number 2, and in just a moment, I'll begin reading in verse number 1 just to simply lay the foundation for what I believe God would have done. We will be studying in the second paragraph of Titus chapter number 2. Now, it's a very unique situation in this paragraph that we will study. Many times when you study a paragraph in the Bible, you will find that there is one main fault in that paragraph. We understand in the English language, when we are studying a paragraph, we are searching for that subject or that fault that is found and given by the writer. But in this particular paragraph that we will study today, there is one subject, but there is also a purpose of that paragraph. Now, watch the Bible, Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Paul is simply continuing his thoughts from chapter 1 as he begins this with a conjunction saying, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, we will not take time this afternoon to deal with what is about to be said in this first paragraph, but we realize this as children of God, our faith is based upon the doctrine and the beliefs of the Word of God. So as Paul is writing to Titus, as he is writing to this young man that is preparing for the ministry, he is reminding him that as we speak, as we minister, everything we do as a child of God, it should become from our sound doctrine in our Christian faith. So watch verse number 2. Why do we do this, Paul? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Everything that Paul is dealing with is concerning the testimony of the child of God. So Paul said, you should teach those that have been saved, those that have been in the way for all these years, to teach the younger likewise that they should behave this way, that they should conduct themselves as children of God in this way, teaching them these things from the Word of God. So notice the Bible, verse number 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So watch this as we are studying this just for these few moments, and it is after 12, and good Baptists have a clock inside of their body. And preacher, we can go about all night on Friday night, but on Sunday morning, that ain't going to happen. So we're trying to hurry here. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, I'm hungry. But anyhow, watch the Bible. Everything... Everything that the Bible is speaking of in this first paragraph, it all deals with our doctrine as children of God. Why do we have a good testimony? Why do we try to teach the younger and those that are trying to be faithful in God? Why do we behave this way as children of God? It all has to do with the doctrine of the things of God. I heard a preacher say a few months ago on the radio, as I was traveling in the middle of the night, he said, "You can come to our church and you'll not ever hear doctrine." I got to thinking to myself, well, that just simply means you don't believe nothing. You don't know nothing from the Word of God. Why? Because doctrine is what we believe as the children of God. So Paul said that is the importance of the doctrine of the Word of God. So watch the next paragraph, verse number 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," I love this, "hath appeared to all men." Now he has dealt with the doctrine of the children of God. Now in a pause, he is beginning to deal with the subject of the grace of God. So notice the Bible very carefully in this particular paragraph. He is dealing with the grace of God. As a matter of fact, everything that we are about to study, everything in these next few moments that we will deal with, it is all surrounded by the grace of God. The young people has already saying about it. That old slave trader wrote these words many, many generations ago. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." We are here because of the grace of God. We are saved because of the grace of God. We have been blessed because of the grace of God. We will stay saved because of the grace of God. We have a home in heaven because of the grace of God. So everything, not just in this particular paragraph, but everything in the Christian faith, it is all surrounded by the grace of God. That's why Paul said to the church of Ephesus in that New Testament church epistle, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So let us be reminded as we try to dive in this portion of scripture, it is only because of the grace of God that we are and can do anything by the mercies of a holy God. So Paul said that this same grace, I love this, "it hath appeared to every man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might, not maybe, but shall be saved." And you are saved by the grace of God. You say, "But preacher, I don't deserve it." Can I say qualified, qualified, qualified? That's why it's grace. There's not a man in this building that deserves the salvation of the Lord. There's not a woman in this building that deserves the salvation of the Lord. But thank God, it's not what I deserve. It's not who I am. It's not what I used to be. But it's all because of the grace of God. So as we study these verses, we must keep in our mind that everything is surrounded by the grace of God. So watch the Bible, verse number 12. What does it do? What is the grace of God doing? It is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly. Now watch this. In this present world. Here it is. It is the grace of God that teaches me. It is the grace. I've heard this so many times, not in so many words, but preacher, we hear it in the mentality of the so-called Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. It's almost a mentality in this last day and hour. Well, I'm saved by the grace of God, so I can do what I want to. I can live the way I want to. I can act the way I want to. I'm still saved. It's all because of the grace of God. And if that is
your mentality, sir. If that is what you believe, ma'am, you have no idea what the grace of God is. But the Bible just showed us that it's the same grace that saved us. It's the same grace that keeps us. It's the same grace that'll show us that we should live soberly. We should live righteously. We should live godly. When should we do it, Paul? We should do it in this present day, in this present world. I know the world is dark. I know they're killing babies. I know there's sin on the rampage, but God is still on the throne, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God's the same today, you and I ought to live holy. We ought to live righteously. We ought to live pure. Why? Because of the grace of an almighty God. So watch this. The subject is grace, but the emphasis is in this present world. That simply means this age, this time. As Paul is writing, he's writing to Timothy also at that time. And then he's also writing to Titus. He's the mentor of these two young men of God. He is the spiritual father of these men of God. And Paul said this is 60 some years after Calvary. They say his letters to Timothy and Titus would have been in 63 AD to 67 AD. So Calvary has already taken place. The resurrection has already happened. And now 60 some years later, Paul is reminding Titus, you ought to live right, man of God. You ought to live pure, child of God. I know the world's wicked. I know the world's dark. But the Bible's such an amazing thing. It's as if we're reading the front page of the newspaper and they've already predicted what would happen today. I know what y'all wanted to say. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, but we don't know that yet. We can't predict that yet. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. Now let's go to 2,000 years later, the world is still wicked. The world is still bad. Sin is still on the rampage. But it has to do with this present age and this present day. And Paul said, Timothy, Titus, you ought to live holy then. But the Bible's telling us today, we ought to live holy today. We ought to live right today simply because of the grace of an almighty God. So watch this, young people. In this present age, this day, right now, 2018, we have enough grace to live holy, righteously, pure as a child of God. Let me say this quickly, introduction. Number one, if I'm going to live holy and righteously in this present world, number one, there must be a denial of self. Watch the Bible, verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldliness, to deny, it has the connotations of it's something that I must do. It is a natural thing in our flesh, in this wicked body, that we want to live for the world. We don't want to deny the lust of this body and the lust of this world. It is a natural, but Paul said, if you're going to live right according to the grace of God, there must be a day, there must be an hour when you make a conscious effort that you're going to deny those things. You're going to die to self and say, God, it's not about what I want. It's not about what this body desires. We know that sin is a pleasure for a season, but sin also will kill you. It will destroy you. It will mess you up. And listen to me, young people. Listen to me, mothers and fathers. As a child of God, because of the grace of God, we must deny ourselves of those things. Introduction. Number one, if I'm to live right in this present day, there's a denial of self. But number two, there's the dedication of the saints. Watch verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, watch the dedication, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. It's the grace of God. It doesn't tell me I can live the way I want to, but it shows me I can live righteous. I can live godly Even in this day where they're killing, even in this day where drugs is on the rampage, even in this day when the chain of addiction has surrounded and affected every family in this building, Paul said, I must dedicate myself. I'm not doing that to get to heaven, but I'm doing that because I'm on my way to heaven. I represent the King of Kings. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the dedication of the child of God. I'm going to live holy, righteously, soberly. Number one, there's a denial. Number two, there's a dedication. Number three, here's the message quickly and I'm done. There's the day of surrender. Watch the Bible. Verse 12, it's grace, grace. It's teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When, Paul? In this present world. You know what he just said? Right now. Don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you've retired and messed up and wrecked your life. Don't wait till you made a decision that will affect the rest of your life. Paul said, if we're going to do this, we ought to surrender right now. We ought to say, God, I give you everything in this present world. You say, but preacher, he is talking almost 2,000 years ago. No, no, no. The Bible is relevant and right for any day, any age group. It doesn't matter. Paul said, I tell you what you ought to do in 2018. You ought to give everything to God. You ought to surrender because of the grace of an almighty God. Watch the Bible. In this present world, in this present age and day we are living, we ought to surrender ourselves. We ought to dedicate ourselves to living right for the Lord Jesus Christ. So watch this. Sin is on the rampage. Even the Bible said this world, it's not going to get any better. It don't matter how many revivals you have. It don't matter how many times you read through the Bible. It don't matter how many hours a day you're going to pray. I am here to tell you, according to the prophecy of Scripture, the world is going to wax worse and worse and worse. There'll be more murder. There'll be more addiction. There'll be more things that we could imagine even in our mind. So how can we live that way? In a world that is waxing worse and worse and worse. But yet Paul said, because of the there's a possibility, even in this present day, this present age, that you and I can live right for the glory of God. Let me give you these things and I'm done quickly. Number one, if I am to live holy, righteously, soberly in the sight of God, number one, I'm noticing his day of return. Watch verse number 13. If I am to live righteously, soberly, denying worldly lust and putting on godliness, I am looking, I love this, I am looking, it is something that is about to happen. I am looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, I love this, of the great God, and it is connected, our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, I'll tell you how I can live in this ungodly world. I'll tell you how I can live in a world that's dying and going to hell. I've got an expectation. I've got a hope in another day. I'm just here to remind you, at any time, any day, any hour, any moment, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. I'm just here to tell every man, every woman, every child of God, Jesus is on his way. Everything's going to be okay. I know the world is dark. I know the world is sinful. But there is a better day for the child of God. I've got an expectation. The blessed hope of his glorious appearing. Paul, how can I live that good in this present world? Because a songwriter put it best. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Thank God I've got a home somewhere beyond the blue. Paul, how can I live that way in this present world? Number one, there's the day of his return, but there's the day of redemption. Watch verse 14. Who gave Jesus, grace, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us. You know how I can live for God in a wicked, ungodly world? I have been redeemed. I have been bought with a price. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am a child of God, not because of what I have done, not because of religion or denomination, but simply because of the grace of an almighty God. This world is not my home. I am not a part of this world, though I am in this world, but I am a citizen of another country, not because of what I have done, nothing that I could do, but thank God at Calvary. He paid the price in full. He did everything that needed to be done. So, preacher, how can I live like this in this present world? I'll tell you how. Because of the redemption that has been given to you. Number one, the Bible. The Bible. The day of his return. The day of redemption. But number three, there's the day of reclaiming. Watch verse 14. Who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. And I love this. And he redeemed us to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what the Bible just said? It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. To purify, to make right, soberly, righteously, holy, to purify, watch the word of God, unto himself. He's reclaiming that which is already to purify. We are living spiritually in the darkest day this world has ever known. Paul said, even today, even in this present, you and I can live right because there's hope for the child of God. I want you to stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. If Adley could come to the piano.